Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Mind Your Biz Today is brought to you by Vistage, the world's leading CEO organization whose member companies outperform the market. Visit Vistage.com today.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
Good afternoon, South Florida. Welcome back to Mind Your Biz Today. We're glad you joined us again, and thank you, Vistage, for being our sponsor, one of the largest international CEO organizations helping businesses grow. And that's our vision and mission for you, too. We want to help businesses grow all over South Florida with our messages. And so today, we've got a number of conversations that we hope will help you be mindful as you grow your businesses or work in your businesses. First, I want to remind listeners to go to mindyourbiztoday.com, our website, and by all means, email us your comments, your questions, and any kinds of themes or issues you're having that you might like us to do a program on. We would welcome those emails from you. So today, we are going to be talking about a number of issues that businesses face. I have spent over the last 20 years 35, 40,000 hours of one-to-one time in businesses, in the trenches, rolling up my sleeves, working with the CEOs, the key executives, the people who are face-to-face with the business issues every day. I find there is a common theme, certain things that get easily overlooked or things that are continually challenges for businesses, large, small, medium, you name it. So I want to start with one that I've been tripping over a lot lately in a number of different scenarios. And this one I think is particularly important because we are in a recession. There's a lot of people who have been laid off. There's a lot of people who are trying to figure out what to do next. Consequently, can't get a job, let's start our own business. So as I see people starting their own businesses, and I did this myself 20 years ago, and I was faced with these same issues. And so one of the things I really want to point out, if you're starting a business, and by the way, you don't have to be starting a business for this to be good advice. This is still good advice for me 20 years later, and I'm mindful of it all the time. It's use professional advisors. There's a tremendous return on investment when you use professional advisors. Lots of times we think we can go to the internet and we can whip out a legal document, fill in the blanks, and it's sufficient. I used to do that until I found out, doesn't cover all of the eventualities. So I want to talk about, for starters, there was an article in Bloomberg Businessweek recently, and many of you are probably familiar with this case because it's so absurd, yet scary, that we need to be tuned in to this kind of thing happening to us. I don't know if you're familiar with the Facebook issue with Mark Zuckerberg. Paul Siglia, who was an old friend of his when they were teenagers. Paul Siglia is a kind of a, roguish kind of guy, according to the article in Business Week. Paul had a business. He manufactured wood pellets to heat homes. And he was taking in orders, but he wasn't delivering. So lo and behold, he gets arrested. He has some legal fees. He has to deal with them. So he goes home. And he starts going through some of his old files in his attic to find assets to pay back the clients to whom he did not deliver. Well, lo and behold, while he's rummaging through these boxes or old files he kept in his upstate New York home, what does he find? A document signed in 2003 by Mark Zuckerberg, who was then a freshman at Harvard, and now, of course, we all know him as the chief executive of Facebook. Well, he says, according to the document in his hand, that it's a valid contract, and it entitles him to 84% stake in Facebook. Can you imagine? I want 4%, never mind 84%. That would make me happy. Based on estimates of the company's value, that stake would be worth about $21 billion. That's billion with a B. On a piece of paper, he signed as a kid in his attic. So, the Zuckerberg contract is now in litigation, but let's give you a little bit more background the way Business Week cited it. The way it all started was this guy, Paul Siglia, was contracted by a Massachusetts company. In those days, it was called StreetDeliver.com. He was photographing street intersections. The site was putting up street intersections. This guy was a photographer, and he did it for them. Well, he got the idea that he was going to spin away from them and start his own business. So he competed with his former employer by making the same kinds of photographs. Well, as he starts building his own little business, he's looking for programmers. He looks on, of all places, Craigslist. And who does he find? The lowest bidder was, yours truly, Mark Zuckerberg. He was 18 years old. So they signed a two-page contract at a hotel. And, you know, what goes around comes around. So Zuckerberg had his own idea for starting something, and so he signed a contract. He asked Siglia to give him $1,000 to write computer code for Street Facts, and then Zuckerberg persuaded him to invest $1,000 in a project he called the Facebook. Fast forward. You know where we are today. So Siglia currently claims 1% interest after each day after January 1st that he wasn't paid. That's how we got to that staggering number that he's claiming is owed to him, $21 billion. So the bottom line is Siglia says he forgot about the contract, dug it out, happened to find it, and oh, lucky day, pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I now owned all this money by Zuckerberg. Well, of course, Facebook says the claim is absurd. It may be. He may or may not win in court. We don't know. But you, as a business owner, or a business executive never, ever want to be in that case. And I can certainly understand how a couple of 18, 19-year-olds got into this situation. They likely printed out a document or hand-wrote it, for all we know, to forge this agreement, believing in good faith. You know, when friends do business together, we always think, no problem, it's going to work out okay, I trust this guy. Well, let me tell you another story along those same lines. This is a personal family member of mine who, when he was very young, around the same age as these guys, he got into business with a couple of guys his own age who were starting a business, an internet business. And my nephew was writing the programming and doing a lot of the hardware, software, you name it. He was sort of the brains behind building this. The other guys were the business guys. Anyway, long story short, all along the way, for many, many years, I said to my nephew that he should make sure he got a contract and got it crystal clear what his equity stake in the business was. Very trusting young man. He said, no problem. These guys will take care of me. I've talked to him about it. They'll take care of me. Well, they didn't. It's not uncommon. I see this again and again in businesses. You need professional advice. You need professional advice from attorneys. You need professional advice from accountants. And all along the way, you need to make sure that you're covered. Just this week, I was doing a presentation actually in our backyard here in Fort Lauderdale, and I met a young man who's about to graduate with his MBA. This young man was talking to us about how he's all excited about starting his own business. And he's excited. He's doing it with a partner. Boy, I got to tell you, every time somebody tells me they're going into business with a partner, I cringe. Because most partnerships, in my experience, always end unfavorably. Somebody gets unhappy. Somebody wants something the other guy doesn't. You know, it's not unlike a marriage. People have different viewpoints. They have different needs. And so as they travel through time, things turn out differently in terms of what they're looking for. So this young man's all set to start this business. And I said to him, well, what's your arrangement? Is it 50-50? He goes, yeah, it's going to be 50-50. I said, you know how dangerous a 50-50 agreement is. There's no tie-breaking vote. Do you have good legal advice on how you're setting up this entity? Is it a corporation? Is it an LLC? What kind of partnership is it? And these are the questions that you simply must get professional advice from. And while you're starting a business or if you've been out of work for a long time, you may say, I don't have the money for a lawyer. I got to tell you, you don't have the money. You don't have the ability not to have a lawyer. It's too high risk. If you're starting your business by yourself and you have some things to consider without a partner, do that. But let me give you an example of something we ran into a couple of weeks ago with a client in the Midwest. Client writes software. And the CEO, when I first met this company about a year ago, said, we've got this software. It's brand new. We're going to roll it out all over the country. We've got to get it going. Well, that CEO told me recently, she said, I ran into one of my competitors at a trade show, and he told me, I'm going to reverse engineer your product and copy it. Well, I had asked her if she had it trademarked, copyrighted, all her protections in place, and she said no. So are you protecting yourself? Do you have the necessary trademarks? Do you have the copyrights where you need it? I see people writing stuff, publishing it. It's all over the web. People steal stuff daily. So be careful. Make sure you cover yourself and get the legal documents. Get them nailed down. Get some advice. Maybe you start out small with that advice, but professional advice, if you're starting up, if you've been in business, review your documents. Maybe it's time to have your attorney review what you currently have and make sure you're protected. And so we're going to go to a commercial break in a few seconds, and I want to ask you to stay tuned. We're going to talk about some other key issues that we see frequently in businesses and hope that you stay with us at Mind Your Biz today as we give you some more tips for your business, growth, and prosperity. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in just a minute.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
As the CEO, are you avoiding tough decisions? How can you do more with less? Who do you turn to for real advice? What do 14,000 companies who have unparalleled access to new business perspectives, innovative strategies, and actionable ideas have in common? Vistage. Vistage is the world's leading CEO organization who offers their members business coaching benefits not available anywhere else. To see if you qualify for membership in Vistage, Florida, contact Chip Webster at 1-800-733-4832 or visit Vistage.com today.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Okay, welcome back to Mind Your Biz Today. We just talked about the need for professional advice in your business. Now let's talk about some of the other things that we frequently see. My consulting firm, Smart Advantage, my consultants and myself see continually in businesses. As I said, I've been doing this for many, many years and been working in the trenches with all kinds of businesses, regardless of if they are retail, distribution, service company, you name it, every imaginable business has pretty much similar issues. So let's talk about a couple of the ones that I have seen do companies in. And in recession, these are ones we simply cannot afford to overlook. And sometimes it's just a question of having a reminder. The reminder has a little kick in the butt to get moving on these items. And so I hope I can do that for you. So one of the things I see that's very dangerous is companies, CEOs, business owners, key managers don't know how to cut their losses. And I remember a client I had who was in the manufacturing business. He manufactured a particular product, and he decided to buy a small company that had nothing to do with the product he was selling. It was sort of in the same category in that it was sold to a homeowner, but it really wasn't supplemental to what they were selling. And this particular business that he acquired, he never could make it work. So what happened was, as you looked at his profit and loss statement, quarter after quarter, and sadly it became year after year, the new business that he acquired was an anchor for the main business. The main business was making money. The new business was losing money faster than the other company was making money. So his balance sheet at the end of the day was a loss. And so quarter after quarter, year after year, I would advise him, sell it, get rid of it, shut it down, get rid of your anchor. But here's what happens. the owner says, I can't. I'm just close to making it work. Just around the corner. One more corner. I know I'll have my head above water. We're almost there. Give me another quarter. Come on, JD, stay with me. Give me another quarter. So I did that for another quarter and another quarter and another quarter. Don't do that to your business. You need margins. And that actually leads us to another one we're going to talk about in a minute about cash. So we've got to be able to cut our losses. And it's not just about a product line. Very often it's about people. Sometimes we don't know how to cut our losses when we have the wrong person. You know, many of you are, if you're listening to this business station, you've been fans of Jim Collins and his book, Good to Great. His theme is put the right people in the right seats on the bus. Do you have the right people in the right seats? And when you've got a wrong person, how quickly do you move? Or how slowly do you move? You know, I've seen this again and again. I have this one client who for probably 3 years complained to me about one particular key employee. And every time I would go in there, I'd get an earful about what this guy did wrong. He can't do this. He's not adept at this skill. I've asked him 3 times to do that. He's just not getting it right. And I would look at her and I would say, why is he still here? And she'd mutter something about, well, he does this okay or that okay. And then I'd come back again and again, and this theme was going on and on and on. And many, many businesses have this employee. For some reason, we don't cut our losses. And you know what? You're not doing that person a favor by keeping them. Let them go out and shine where they can, where they do have a good fit. If they're not a good fit for your organization, chances are they are a good fit somewhere else. It may be the culture. It may be the tasks you've assigned them to. But most people can find their way in another organization. Another example of that is I've seen a number of clients with sales employees. How many of you can relate to this? In our sales force, we've got the classic prima donna, the guy who sells more than anybody, but he's a pain in the butt, very high maintenance, pulling down everybody else, pulling down the morale of everybody else. We're having to give him extras. We're having to support him more than the other guy, and we wish he'd go away. But we can't make him go away because he's bringing in the biggest volume. I've seen that repeatedly in organizations as well. So when we have that kind of person, we've got to cut our losses, because what are the ramifications of keeping the prima donna? You bring down the morale of the other performers. They don't get to rise to the occasion because too much focus is going on meeting this guy or gal's needs. And whenever I have seen that person finally let go, it is amazing how that market share and revenue continues to come in and increase because people aren't being dragged down by the negatives of that person. Now, I'm not saying get rid of your highest producer if you can fix them and if you can confront them with the issues that are getting in the way. People problems are probably the biggest challenge of most businesses because we all have our own quirks. We all project onto others what we want them to be, you know, just like us. Why isn't he just like me? Well, it's not always that way. But if there's something that's truly toxic or damaging in your organization, cut your losses. Cut the business division. Cut the product. Cut the person that's dragging you down and creating an anchor to your profitable P&L. So the other thing I want to say about that, and this is something that I'd heard from a speaker many, many years ago. I believe the gentleman's name was Ed Ryan, who talked about the need to hire slow and fire fast. If you're out there trying to hire, and I know in the recession there are not many people doing that, but some of us are starting to say, okay, it's time to grow. It's time to get out there and get a new person. Let's augment this staff. So the thing I learned is you hire slow and fire fast. And I remember Ed saying many years ago, interview everybody. If you go out and buy shoes and you find that that shoe salesman was extraordinary, they were, and I have had this experience usually in a store like Neiman Marcus, but they're extraordinary connecting with the customer. They're extraordinary about listening. What is it you're looking for? And not keeping you waiting. And when you find that candidate, doesn't matter what they're selling, if you identify the behaviors that you know will work, you want to hire the good behaviors, you can train the skills. And I remember a story about a guy from that worked in a shoe store, hired by 3M, guy came in and said, you've got phenomenal skills. Come work for us. He says, I know nothing about your business. They said, we'll train you. They took 6 months to train this guy at 3M, and he became one of their top producers. That's a really old story, but I am always keeping an eye out and recommending candidates. If I see somebody, I ran into a guy at Verizon, I'm sorry, at a, one of the mobile, I don't think it was Verizon, I think it was another store, a mobile phone store that I thought was top-notch. I got his resume and handed it off to a couple of clients. Always be on the lookout for talent. Always be looking for those behaviors that you know work for you or can work for you. So the other thing about the hiring is hire by function. Make sure you're filling a function that you need. You're not hiring for a job description. The job description should be focused only on the function, not what the person's talents may or may not be if you don't need those talents or skills. So now I just want to kind of wrap up this particular segment before I move into the next one, which is, who do you think is the most successful? The businesses that don't cut their losses. I mean, of course, this is a leading question, but I have seen businesses not fire people, not get rid of the divisions, and go out of business or limp along. But I can tell you, the companies that I know bring people in, find out they're not a fit for the organization and fire them, they're the superstars. Those are the businesses I see today. So I got to tell you that. Be mindful of that. So now let's move on to the next key issues for businesses. One is they don't keep enough cash on hand. Cash ain't cash unless it's cash. And so in today's world, contrary to what I just said, we're hearing just the opposite. So either the business has one problem. They don't have enough cash. They're cash poor. They've got cash flow problems. They can't pay their bills. They can't meet payroll. That's a big concern. Other businesses are sitting on cash, and they're not investing in the things they need to invest in and grow. You need a really good balance there. How do we get into trouble with cash? How many of you out there know your business's break-even point? Do you monitor it every month? Do you see how close you are above or below that bottom line? We've got to know our break-even point. We've got to manage cash flow. We've got to be keen on where we are, and if we're hoarding money, what is it preventing us from doing? We talk to clients all the time who say, oh, yeah, we need to hire a marketing company, or we need to bring in somebody to do this. But, you know, we're afraid to spend the money. Sometimes companies are penny-wise and pound-foolish. They start cutting advertising budgets. They start cutting training budgets. They start cutting customer service staff. Those things that bring market share to you are the things that we should not be cutting on. We absolutely have to be investing in our future, even in times like this, or we won't be around to be talking about it later on. Another example of the kinds of things that would get us into trouble is managing inventory. Do we do a good job of that? I know many companies have very sophisticated inventory management systems. We talked to a company just yesterday who said, we've got very good inventory management, except that we can't buy any new inventory until we get rid of the old, and our customers are having a problem with that because what are we selling? We're selling sort of yesterday's merchandise. We got to work down this inventory. We see this all the time in retail. We go to retail stores, and why is the stuff marked down? Why are the clothes at 20% of what they were 6 months ago? Because it's yesterday's style. So you've got to manage inventory so you're staying current. Your cash isn't being eaten up by inventory that's sitting on the shelf. I know these are not new ideas to most of you. Hopefully they're reminders. And for young businesses, I hope that they're something you'll start to pay attention to. These are critical things and, again, reminders of where we need to be. Now, here's one of my favorites. Gosh, I see this one all too frequently. How well are you managing your receivables? You know, most of us run our businesses too far away from the day-to-day, and we're not looking enough at our receivables. I have one client. It's not a terribly big business, and they wrote off $1 million in accounts receivable because they took their eye off the ball. You got to be very careful of that. You don't want to be writing off receivables in these times. So if you've got shaky clients, maybe you fire the clients who are too high risk. and maybe you change the terms. You get more money up front in those arrangements if you've got a client who's shaky. So I want to tell you, moving right along, you know, the other thing we don't do is enough research. I've always said a lot of companies are too internally focused. We don't look at our competition, and we don't look at our customers. Saw an article recently on Harrah's, and this is so interesting. It's a casino. Harrah's did some very sophisticated research and learned something that I thought was a big eye-opener. They found out that their clients, their best client, was the slot machine mama, as opposed to the high rollers. They get more margin from the people who are sitting there pulling the levers. So do your research. Find out what's going on out there. Well, I hope this was helpful, some helpful reminders or some new tidbits for those of you who are listening. Please join us again next week at Mind Your Biz Today. And join us. Come talk to us at mindyourbiztoday.com. Give us your thoughts. And thank you, Vistage, for being our sponsor, who's also in the same business we are on the show, helping businesses grow every day. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you next Friday. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another great program here on 880 The Biz.